It is January 25th, 2026, and if you're a PlayStation fan, or really just anyone who pays attention to the gaming calendar, you might have noticed something a little unsettling about the rest of this year. If you look at the release schedule for the next 6, 8 months, it's empty. We're staring into a void.
It's quiet,
Well,
too quiet.
exactly. We had The Last of Us Part 2 remastered. We played the Spider-Man 2 DLC, but those are in the rearview mirror now. And for a shareholder, that silence is terrifying.
It is.
But for the gamer who knows where to look, that silence is actually deafening noise. Because the rumors are spinning so fast, they are about to achieve liftoff. Today, we're doing a deep dive into what we believe is an imminent Sony state of play.
But we aren't just reading tea leaves here. We're looking at a very specific forecast report. It's from a source known as Inspector Gemini. And this isn't just like a wish list. It is a forensic analysis of their 2024 showcase roadmap, but extrapolated to where we are right now in early 2026.
It feels a bit like we're digital detectives today. We have the motive, we have the opportunity, and according to this report, we have the weapon. So our mission is to break down this forecast, the locks, the dreams, and the redemptions.
Right.
But before we get to the games, let's talk about the when. Why is Inspector Gemini so convinced a show is dropping, like this week or next?
Well, it really comes down to two things: corporate standard operating procedure and then, digital forensics.
Okay.
Let's look at the calendar first. In the corporate world, especially for a Japanese giant like Sony, March 31st is the real New Year's Eve. That's when the fiscal year wraps up.
So they need to get their story straight before the books close.
Precisely. If you look at history, January 2024, February 2023, February 2022, Sony almost invariably holds a major showcase in that Jan-Feb window.
Ah, okay.
They have to set the narrative for the investors. They need to say, here is how we're going to make money in fiscal year 2026. Right now, without a show, the narrative is, we have nothing. And investors, well, they hate nothing.
Nothing makes the stock price go down. Okay, so the timing makes sense historically, but you mentioned digital forensics. This is the part of the report that really, really caught my eye. We aren't just guessing based on dates, we're looking at the code.
This is the smoking gun section of the report.
Yeah.
There are people, let's just call them data miners, who monitor the back end of the PlayStation Store.
Right.
They watch for changes in metadata. And the report highlights two specific placeholders, Unknown App 1 and Unknown App 2.
That sounds mysterious.
Well, Unknown App 1 is strongly linked via its ID code to Death Stranding 2, and Unknown App 2 traces back to Konami. Now, here's the kicker. The file sizes for these apps changed yesterday.
For the non-technical listener, why does a file size change matter?
It matters because you don't update the file size of a placeholder unless you're uploading new data. Usually, that means the final assets for a pre-order page are being staged.
I mean, like the thumbnail, the description, that kind of thing.
The thumbnail, the description, the trailer file itself, they're all being prepped. It
Okay.
means the buy now button is being polished. You don't do that unless you are ready to flip the switch.
Okay, so the gun is loaded, the safety is off, and the finger is on the trigger. Let's talk about what they're actually going to show. The report breaks this down into categories, and the first one is the lock, the game with a 99% probability rating.
Death Stranding 2 on the beach.
The sequel to the most expensive walking simulator ever made.
Hideo Kojima would probably prefer Strand Game, but yeah. If Inspector Gemini is willing to bet the house, this is the bet. Kojima has been on social media for months, posting photos of his editing timeline with the caption mixed.
He's basically screaming, "The trailer is done. I'm just waiting for permission to hit upload."
Pretty much. But we aren't just expecting another cinematic trailer of Norman Reedus crying on a beach, right? The report suggests this is going to be something of a technical flex.
Yeah.
This is the important context. The state of play isn't just about software, it's about justifying hardware. This is likely the graphics showcase for the PS5 Pro.
Okay, that makes sense.
Kojima Productions uses the Decima engine, the same tech under the hood of the Horizon games, and it is widely regarded as the benchmark for visual fidelity on PlayStation.
So if you want to show off your new console, you give the keys to Kojima.
Exactly. The expert consensus in the report is that this presentation will lean heavily on PSSR to achieve the Holy Grail.
Let's unpack that acronym because we hear it thrown around a lot. PSSR. What does it actually mean for the person sitting on their couch?
PSSR stands for PlayStation Spectral Super Resolution. That's a mouthful, but just think of it as AI upgrading.
Okay.
In the past, if you wanted 4K resolution, your console had to work incredibly hard to draw every single pixel. And that usually meant the frame rate dropped to 30, It looked pretty, but it felt sluggish.
You had to choose, do I want it to look like a photograph or do I want it to move smoothly?
Right. PSSR uses artificial intelligence to draw the game at a lower resolution, which is easy for the console. And then the AI basically hallucinates the missing pixels to make it look like native 4K.
And it does this instantly.
Instantly. So for Death Stranding 2, the promise is 4K stability running at a buttery smooth 60 frames per second. No compromises.
That is the technical side. But gameplay-wise, the report mentions a shift. I played the first game, and the main enemy was, well, gravity and rocks.
It was a hiking survival game.
Yeah.
But the report suggests the sequel shifts to dynamic environments. We're not just talking about tripping over a stone anymore. We're talking about the map fighting back.
Like what? Natural disasters?
Exactly. Floods, landslides, earthquakes, shifting geography. Imagine you spend 20 minutes planning a route for Sam. You've got your ladders, your ropes, you're all ready to go.
Right.
And then a landslide just wipes out the entire valley in real time.
Oh, wow.
Now you have to improvise. It forces the player to change tactics on the fly. It turns the environment from an obstacle course into an active opponent.
That sounds incredibly stressful, and I am absolutely here for it. And what about a release date?
The forecast says summer 2026. The game's been in full production for over 3 years, and Kojima's is notoriously efficient. So a summer release, it fills that mid-year gap perfectly before the holiday rush.
Okay, so Death Stranding 2 is the anchor. That's the lock. Now, let's move to the category the report calls the dream. This is the one that, if it appears, the internet might actually break.
Ghost of Tsushima 2.
Or whatever they end up calling it. It's been a minute since the first one.
It's been 6 years. The original dropped in 2020. In the current landscape of AAA development, 5 to 6 years is pretty much the standard cycle. The report calls the timing mathematically perfect.
It feels like Sucker Punch, the studio behind it, has just been in a bunker. Total radio silence.
Silence is usually a sign of focus. But there were leaks, as there always are. Back in 2022 and 2023, the report highlights these job listings at Sucker Punch.
Right.
They were hiring for very specific roles. Open world stealth and feudal Japanese architecture.
You don't hire an expert in feudal Japanese roofs if you're making a sci-fi shooter.
Exactly. That's the smoking gun for the setting. But there's another layer here, corporate synergy. We know Sony is currently producing a Ghost of Tsushima movie, directed by Chad Stahelski, the guy who did John Wick.
That movie's going to be incredible.
It is. And Sony loves to connect the dots. Announcing the game sequel now builds immediate hype for the IP. It keeps the name Ghost of Tsushima in the headlines so that when the movie trailer drops, the audience is already primed.
Now, you mentioned the name earlier. The report speculates it won't actually be called Ghost of Tsushima 2.
Right, because narratively, that doesn't really make sense. Jin Sakai's work on Tsushima Island is done. He saved it. The rumors are pointing towards titles like Ghost of Kamakura or Ghost of the Shogun.
So the expectation is a move to mainland Japan.
To the mainland, yeah.
Which implies a massive jump in scale. I mean, Tsushima was rural. The mainland is dense.
Denser cities, political intrigue, larger scale battles. If Tsushima was a guerrilla war in the countryside, this is the heart of the empire. However, the report does put a bit of a dampener on our excitement.
Oh, no.
He predicts we probably won't see actual gameplay.
Just a teaser.
A CGI mood piece. You know, the type of bamboo forest, a bloody katana, a title card, and then 2026 or 2027 fades in. Just enough to confirm it exists and win the news cycle, but not enough to, you know, scrutinize the frame rate.
I think fans would take a title card over nothing at this point. Okay, moving on to the next category, the redemption arc. This is fascinating because it deals with studios that have taken a public beating recently. First up, Insomniac Games and Marvel's Wolverine.
This is a really, really crucial moment for Insomniac. We all remember late 2023, the massive studio leak.
That was brutal.
It was a disaster. Terabytes of data stolen. There were playable builds of Wolverine floating around on PC that were just completely broken and unfinished. The entire plot was leaked. The mystique was, well, it was shattered.
It's hard to get excited for a magic trick when you've already seen all the wires and the trapdoor.
Exactly. So the goal of showing it now is to reclaim the narrative. They need to show a vertical slice of the polished product. They need to wash away the memory of those unfinished assets.
And the tone seems to be the big question mark here. Wolverine is not Spider-Man.
No, and he shouldn't be. The report emphasizes that Sony needs to confirm the M rating immediately. Fans are worried this will just be Spider-Man with claws. They need to see that the claws actually cut.
You want visceral.
They want weight. When Spider-Man hits you, it's acrobatic. When Wolverine hits you, it should feel like a car crash. That combat needs to look heavy. If they show a trailer where he's just cutting up robots to avoid showing blood, the internet will tear them apart.
There's also a strategic element here regarding the competition, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. Xbox announced their Blade game. By showing a polished, brutal Wolverine now, Sony is effectively peeing on the fire hydrant. They're asserting dominance in the superhero genre.
We are still the kings of the comic book adaptation. I like it. But there's another redemption story here, and it's a bit spookier. Silent Hill 2 remake from Konami and Bloober Team.
This one is tricky. The previous combat trailer they released was, let's see, controversial.
That's putting it politely. The comment section was a war zone.
It just looked stiff, the gun sounds were weak, and it fundamentally misunderstood why people love Silent Hill. You don't play Silent Hill for 360 no-scope headshots. You play it for the psychological horror.
So how do they fix it?
The report calls for a vibe check. They need to pivot completely away from combat. Give us a story trailer. Focus on the atmosphere. Show us the fog. Let us hear Akira Yamaoka's new soundtrack.
Right. We need to see the main character, James Sunderland, looking terrified and broken, not looking like some kind of action hero.
Exactly. They need to prove they understand the soul of the game. And crucially, the report warns about the release date. Early 2026 is slipping away. If they don't show a specific date, like May 2026, we should probably assume a delay to Halloween.
Oof. Let's hope we see a date then. Now we have to eat our vegetables before we get to dessert. The report has a section called The Business of Live Service. I know, everyone groans when we say live service, but this is a massive part of Sony's strategy.
It is the financial reality.
Yeah.
Sony spent $3.6 billion acquiring Bungie. You don't spend that kind of money just to say you own the Halo creators. You need an ROI.
And that brings us to Marathon.
Bungie's extraction shooter. The aesthetic is incredibly cool. That neon, stark sci-fi look.
It's beautiful.
The art is undeniable. It looks nothing like Call of Duty. But the report points out that the gameplay loop is still a total mystery. We know it looks cool, but is it just escape from Tarkov in space?
And for those who haven't played Tarkov, that is a punishing, brutal experience.
It is. You go in, you loot, you try to survive. If you die, you lose everything. It's high stakes. Can Bungie translate that hardcore loop to a mass console audience? The report says we need a gameplay deep dive that explains how it actually plays. Pretty colors aren't enough anymore.
And then there's Fair Game from Haven Studios.
Led by Jade Raymond. This is described as a heist game. And the strategic goal here is fascinating. Sony is trying to eat some of GTA Online's lunch.
That is a very expensive lunch to try and steal. GTA Online is a juggernaut.
It is. And the challenge is overcoming live service fatigue. Gamers are tired. They already have their forever game. They play Fortnite or Destiny or GTA. Asking them to drop that investment and start over in a new ecosystem is a huge ask.
So Fair Game needs to look incredibly fun right out of the gate.
Immediately. To get people on board. It's a tall order.
It is. Okay, we have covered the locks, the dreams, the redemptions, and the business. But a state of play isn't a state of play without a one more thing. The report lists some wild cards. Who are the candidates for a surprise reveal?
There are three main contenders here. First, Bluepoint Games. They're the masters of the remake. They did Demon's Souls for the PS5 launch. But they stated years ago they were working on original content.
And they've been silent for 5 years.
5 years is a long time to be cooking something new.
It really is.
It is time. Could it be a fantasy RPG?
Yeah.
Sci-fi horror? Nobody knows. But given their tech pedigree, it will look incredible. Then you have Bend Studio, the Days Gone creators. We know they aren't making Days Gone 2, which broke a lot of hearts.
R.I.P. Deacon St. John.
But they're using the systems from Days Gone, the Horde tech, the open world streaming for a new IP, and the rumors are pointing to a Cold War spy espionage game.
Oh, I would play that. Open world spycraft. Gadgets.
Think Metal Gear Solid meets an open world, maybe.
Mm.
And finally, Santa Monica Studio.
Mm.
We know Corey Barlog handed off God of War Ragnarok to Eric Williams so he could work on something new. And the rumor is something sci-fi.
A Corey Barlog sci-fi narrative. That would be a massive mic drop to end the show.
Yeah.
So looking at this forecast as a whole, how should we be managing our expectations? Inspector Gemini has a verdict on this.
It's a good reality check. The verdict is this. If Sony shows up with Death Stranding 2, Silent Hill 2, and Wolverine, that's a solid B-plus show. It keeps the lights on, keeps investors happy, gives us things to pre-order.
That sounds like a win.
It is a win. But if the screen fades to black and we hear the sound of a bamboo flute and the Sucker Punch logo appears, that elevates the show to legendary status. That's the difference between a good year and a historic one.
That bamboo flute is doing a lot of heavy lifting for the hopes and dreams of the fanbase.
The advice from the report is sound, though. Go in expecting Death Stranding, too. Treat everything else as a bonus. That way, you won't be disappointed.
That is probably the healthiest way to approach any gaming showcase. So let's recap. We're staring at a vacuum in Sony's 2026 schedule. Investors are nervous. Fans are hungry. The back-end data suggests pre-orders are being prepped as we speak. We're almost certainly getting Sam Porter Bridges. We might get Wolverine's Claws. And if the stars align, we're going back to Japan with Sucker Punch.
It's shaping up to be a pivotal moment for the PS5 generation. This is the year they really have to show their hand.
Absolutely. Now, before we sign off, I want to circle back to something you mentioned earlier about the movie synergy.
It raises an important question, doesn't it?
It does. We're seeing this trend more and more. Games and movies and TV shows all being timed together. The provocative thought I want to leave you, the listener, with is this. Are we playing games when they're actually finished? Or are we playing them when they fit the marketing calendar for a movie adaptation?
It's a valid concern. Does the push for multimedia synergy dictate game release schedules more than the readiness of the games themselves? If Ghost 2 is ready, but the movie isn't, do we have to wait?
Something to chew on while we wait for that State of Play announcement. We will be watching the feeds closely, and you can bet we'll be back to break it all down once the show actually happens. Thanks for listening to this deep dive.
Until next time.